What a good thought, huh? So the reason I wanted to share that video with you this morning is we are currently having a conversation. Our summer teaching conversation has been on the fruit of the Spirit. And one of the things that I think in this study it's helping us do, it's helping check ourselves of who we are, how we think, but also make sure humility is part of our everyday diet, life, and thinking. So first and foremost, I just welcome everyone to Navigation Church, especially if you're watching us online right now. We are absolutely thrilled that you're tuning in. One of the things you may not know about is if you download our app, you can open up Sunday morning sermon notes, and you can actually follow along with us as we have our conversation day, as well as take notes of yourself inside the app, and then make sure to save it to your device so you don't lose your notes afterwards. But so if you're here today and you want to open up the app and follow along, we've got a lot of good information. I think it's good information. I'll let you know, you can let me know in about a half hour. I had a thought this morning while during worship, not really a part of today's conversation, but I'd like to share it with you. It was actually, I was thinking about worship, and to be honest with you, I don't have a good singing voice. Because anybody out there say amen, because you know you don't either. Even though you belt it out in the shower and it echoes all around, you know that if anyone heard you, you'd be embarrassed. So that's me. I don't have a good singing voice. And some of today's songs, I had to work a little bit to sing them just because they're not really in my wheelhouse. And I started thinking to myself, God, there's no way you're enjoying this. Because I know how I sound and I know how I'm kind of working through the songs. And I actually had a flashback to last night. So a friend of ours decided it would be a good idea to send home with the kids a mini karaoke machine. Thank you. Like, it's not a good idea. I knew it wasn't. When I saw it walk in the door, I knew it wasn't a good idea. So last night, my wife and boys, they went over to St. Louis to see a show about Dude Perfect. Does anyone know who they are? If not, look them up online. You will lose 2 hours of your life watching trick shots. So they went over there last night. So I had just baby Mariah at home with me. And baby Mariah, she's three, but she knows how to turn it on. She knows how to increase the reverb on the microphone. And the music wasn't even playing. And she was just hanging on her necklace now, singing and putting a hip thing. And she's just talking to the microphone, talking to the speaker, having a blast. And this thing reverberates through the house. And my kid, we can be in our bathroom and hear it as clear as a bell all the way downstairs. And she's singing, and she's dancing, she's laughing. And I found myself looking at her, just smiling, knowing how much fun she was having. And so this morning during worship, as I was singing, not feeling like I was doing a good job, I had a picture of this dad looking at his daughter, loving life because she was just expressing who she was. And this morning, I don't know how you felt during worship. I don't know if you think you can sing or you can't sing, but I just got a picture of a father up in heaven loving that his children are just singing to him. And we probably sound like this compared to all those angels. Then all they sing is holy, 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 holy. Look it up. It's in Isaiah. So holy, holy. Like they only sing one word anyway. At least we have multiple words that we're singing. But I don't know if it sounds good or not, but I know this. I think there was a God in heaven enjoying himself today, listening to us sing. So I'm so glad you engaged in worship with you. I don't know if that was a thought just for me or if someone else needed to hear that today, but here's where we're at. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, and so we're going to read these together real quick, just so you know that it actually comes out of the Bible. It's Galatians 5, 22 through 26. But the fruit of the Spirit, you guys ready to say this with me, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against all of those things, there is no law. What do I mean by that? You'd have to go back 2 weeks ago to listen to that sermon, and we go into that in depth. And so, but those who belong to Christ Jesus, those of us that have said yes to being a follower of Jesus, those of us that are giving our life over to God, we have actually crucified our flesh, which, by the way, our flesh and our spirit are constantly warring with each other. We talked about that last week, if you want to go back and listen to that. We've crucified our flesh with all of its passions and desires, because how many know there's times in your life, just because you want to do something, it may not be a healthy thing. Just because we have a desire, just because we have something boiling up inside, it could actually be destructive in nature. So we choose to crucify that flesh to the cross with Christ. And since we live by the Spirit, how about do this? Let's just keep step in step with the Spirit. I mean, if this is our dance partner, let's keep in rhythm. So let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. So that's where we get our conversation out of. Last week, we talked on patience. And if you weren't here last week, congratulations. I'm going to give you a brand new thought, a little nugget for you to know. Here's what I was saying about patience. I thought last week's sermon was really good. And you don't have to say amen. I mean, that's just, like, I walked out. There's sometimes I get done with sermon, I go, oh, man, like, I wish I had a third shot at that. Like, that could definitely be polished up a little bit more. I left last week going, I did it. I communicated exactly what I wanted to, and I think people understood the true definition of patience. Then, like, 2 days later, we had a contractor come here to the church, and they said it was a great sermon on Sunday, and they remember it because earlier that day when they were drinking coffee, they did it too fast, and they burnt their mouth. Like, that's what we got from that sermon. I was like, that's okay. One person, no big deal. And then I had a picture sent to me. That it was this picture here that you're going to see from a grocery store. And it said the lady in front of us were checking out. We showed patience. I'm like, oh, that's not the definition that I was going for. You didn't eat the ho-ho sitting in front of you. That wasn't. And I thought, okay, two people, no big deal. It was still a good sermon. And then someone else sent me a text that said, the last time I heard that good a sermon on patience, it was from Guns N' Roses. And when I'm a failure as a communicator. Like, I need to have patience when it comes to either me teaching or you learning, one of the two. So if you weren't here last week, here's the definition. Patience is to stand under the pressure of test, trials, and temptations. And then under that pressure that you're standing under, instead of falling into temptation, rather than giving up on your test, or rather through your trials end up being prosecuted for the wrong thing, you stand underneath there, and it develops a patience inside of you for this. We allow God to do exactly what God promises, and that's to be there for us, to be our advocate, but to be our fighter. And so I heard read this from John Quincy Adams. He said this, patience and perseverance have this magical effect, and I love the phrase magical effect, like we don't know how it happens, but it's the picture that it paints, this magical effect, because before difficulties disappear and obstacles vanish. So I love the thought that we're standing here with these tough times ahead of us, these obstacles in front of us, difficult times, but if we allow patience to do its due process in our life, rather than us disappearing, rather than us failing, rather than us collapsing, the obstacles around us seem to disappear. And so that is the goal for a patient lifestyle. And so if you don't know what patience is, if you feel like right now you're going through a test, a trial, you're constantly being tempted on something, I want to encourage you. You can, again, through our app, you can go back and watch or listen to the sermon. You can subscribe to our podcast. You can go to the website. There's many ways to go and hear it. But last week, I think, could be a really good sermon to help you figure out how to stand strong during the test, the trials, and temptations. If you agree with that, say amen. That's a pastor's way of making sure you're still paying attention. So, what is the main reason that we've been having this conversation? We've been reading the scripture every week together, and we've been saying this. Any place in your life where you continue to struggle or you have a sin issue, that should be a key indicator. That should be a blinking light on your dashboard saying that you do not, sorry, I'm growing up as a boy. So, that should be a blinking light on your dashboard of life to say this, you do not have a fruit of the Spirit active. So if you constantly have hatred, that's a blinking light to say, no, you're supposed to have love. You got to get to the other side of it. Hatred is the flesh. Love is the Spirit. And so the reason we've been having this conversation is so that we can actually have the fruit of the Spirit active in our life. Here's a little backstory for you. Matthew 7:15 says this. Jesus actually says that we will be known to be Christians by the fruit of our life. So I started thinking about this. If you had to prove that you were a Christian internally, would the fruit of your spirit or the deeds of your life around you prove it? So let me ask it a different way. If right now I took you to a court of law and you could not testify for yourself, because here's what I think most people do. They maybe tell you about the time that they got saved. They may tell you or quote a bunch of scriptures to prove that I read the Bible, I know Jesus, and all those type of things. But right now, if you got taken to a court of law And no one in this room that sees you on Sunday morning where you dressed nice, you showed up and you got your Christian coffee at the Christian coffee bar and sat at a Christian table and sat at your Christian chairs, if no one in this room could testify for you, would the world around you be able to prove that you are a Christian by the fruit, by the deeds, by the actions of your life? And so that is what Jesus is saying. Actually, you'll be known, they will be known because of their fruit. I had the two coolest things happen this week, talking to two different people about you, about this church. And one person was talking to me because they are interested in possibly renting out our building. I know everyone's going to freak out now, but I just talked this week, and this is not an announcement. But they're looking to rent a church on Saturday nights. And the individual said to me, he goes, man, I love the thought of being at your church for one reason. If my people can't come to church on Saturday night, I know that you're there on Sunday morning and your church will take care of them, your church would welcome them, but your church wouldn't be all about just stealing other church members. And I was like, you know what? I love that testimony about you guys. That wasn't what I told them. That was what their testimony about us was. And I loved it. And then there was another person, another church that was talking to us, and they said, man, I know why we get along so well. Your church is so interested in preaching the gospel. That's a good time to say amen. Like, it's mind-blowing that that has to be a testimony of who we are, but we believe in a guy named Jesus. We actually sing a whole lot about him today. Jesus, Jesus. I mean, we were rocking out, right? But here's the other thing. Like, we believe in a man named Jesus that died for our sins, and I believe in order for you to have the best lives possible, you need a relationship with him. And in that, this other church was like, I love that you are a gospel-centered church, that you care about your community, that your church members, your partners, are all about actually changing people's lives and actually being engaged and do life together. I was like, man, that's an awesome testimony. Again, not about me. That's about you. So right now, if Navigation Church had to go to a court of law and someone else had to prove that we are Christians and followers of Christ, I like to say this. We win the case. But for you personally, no one sitting around this room can testify, but those that you work with on a regular basis, those who you play with on a regular basis, those activities outside of here, if you had to go to a court of law right now, could they actually prove that you are a Christian? Because Jesus said we're going to be known by our deeds, by our fruit. And here's, can I tell you one of the really frustrating things about the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit are, not is. And so here's why this is a big deal. They're all singular. I wish in my life I could do one thing and all of my life get better. But the reality is, parts of my life get better. Does that make sense? So if you're working on the fruit of the Spirit, you are probably working on them one at a time. But this is very important because we actually need to have a balanced lifestyle. And if we only work on mercy, only work on long-suffering, man, if you don't work on love at the same time, you'll eventually learn how to suffer a long time but hate the people you're dealing with. And so in this singular mode here, just know that there's different bushes all around you. You constantly have to be working on, constantly have to be pruning. And then most likely as you're working on this one, someone will say something over here where you go, ugh. Now I have to work on that one. May goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, right? And so that's just a little backstory as we think about this. The fruit of the Spirit actually should be so active in your life that, number one, you're working, pruning, and cultivating each one of them individually. But number two, that the people around you should actually know that you're a Christian, not because of your words, not because you tell them you go to church on Sunday morning, but literally the life that you live should testify that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And so now, this day, we're going to actually talk about gentleness. Gentleness. When I use the word gentle, how many immediately just think weak? That's when I ask you a question, that's when we talk back and forth. This is how this works today. So how many would say, if I say the word you gentle, you kind of think you're weak? Okay, so when it comes to gentleness, it's anything but weak. Actually, there's an old, very famous fable about the sun and the wind. The wind comes to the sun, and they see a man walking down the road with a coat on. And the wind says to the sun, I bet you I can get that jacket off of that individual. And all of a sudden, the wind starts blowing and blowing and blowing. And the more that he blew, the tighter the man held his jacket. And he blew harder, and it was cold, and it was violent. And the man eventually had to stop walking, and he held his jacket even tighter, tighter, tighter. And he never could blow that man's jacket off. And then the son said, let me give it, have a chance. And the son came out, and he simply warmed up. And the son actually said, if I wanted to, I could put enough heat that would kill this man, but instead, I'm going to put out enough heat where he wants just to take his jacket off. When it comes to gentleness, it's understanding the power that you have, but it doesn't mean that you exercise everything that you own. And so gentleness is actually very, very strong. And may I say, I think weak people are arrogant. I think weak people come across as pushy and mean and prideful and gossip. And the reason why I say that is the reason they use all those different attributes that are unhealthy is because they don't have enough self-worth on who they are. They have to exercise all these other manipulative powers in order to feel strong in their own life. But if you actually are secure in who you are a very gentle person because you're not needing validation and affirmation from the world around you. You get it from who you are because you know who you are, found in Christ. You actually, that is the definition of gentleness. So the definition of gentleness, again, this is in your app if you want to read it. Gentleness is being undisturbed in uncomfortable surroundings. So the word gentle here, gentleness, the Greek word that we get it from says this, it is being undisturbed in uncomfortable surroundings. How many have ever been in an uncomfortable situation? Where you actually feel, the more you know of who you are, the less the world around you is going to tell you who you are. And finding true gentleness when you're in an uncomfortable situation, rather than that situation defining you, manipulating you, or moving you, you're so comfortable with who you are, you don't mind being there. I have a situation in my life going right now, and I'll tell you now, here's the way that I'd say it, is because of a conversation that I've had to engage in, no one's going to come out a winner because it's just one of those difficult conversations. Not only that, there's not a place where I'm going to gain power or authority or prestige. It's just, I did that last week too. I mean, when you're carrying around catcher's mitts, it's kind of big hand. So, but here's what I've come to find out. I don't mind stepping into those situations because I know who I am as a follower of Jesus Christ. But more than that, our mission of the church actually says that we want to pastor a community and disciple individuals, and there's a place in the community that just needs pastored right now. And true gentleness doesn't mean you come in and just be nice. Gentleness could actually be the spirit behind me disciplining a child. But I'm comfortable with who I am in an uncomfortable surrounding, so I don't mind stepping in and being that person. And so how do you then, when it comes to being comfortable in uncomfortable situations, how are some of a few ways that gentleness can work for you? So today I'm going to do something I don't think I've done in this campaign yet, and that's this. I'm going to give you four specific things that gentleness does. Okay? Again, they're in the app. If not, you can take pictures of the screen behind me. Here it is. Gentleness diffuses conflict. Proverbs 15:1 says this, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So here's my mom's proverb growing up all of my life. How about we throw water on that fire, not gasoline? How many have ever been in a situation before that there was a flame a burning, people were frustrated, and the words you said seemed to actually add to the flare-up that was occurring? Chances are, it wasn't a gentle word, because a gentle word throws water on the situation, not gasoline. Actually, we have something in our brain called mirror neurons. This is something that science has taught us over time, that if you're in a conversation with someone, you can actually mirror their emotional state. And so the common thing that happens is that if you're in a tense situation and the person across from you is elevating their conversation, elevating their words, elevating the intensity, most of the times we as individuals, we do what? Go right there with them. We elevate up with them. Next thing you know, you're yelling at each other, and it started out asking, where do you want to go for lunch after church? Where do you want to go for lunch? I don't know where you want to go for. I said White Castle, and you said I can pick anywhere. And then you said you can pick anywhere but there. There was not, and yeah, that's happened before. I feel like I shouldn't have looked over there. I got to be honest with you. I think everybody in here can feel the mirrors happening right now. So, but that's what happened. So the question is, how do we diffuse that conflict in a gentle spirit? And so here's your tip of the day. And some of you, by the way, you don't even have to believe in Jesus and this works. You don't, this whole Christian thing, you just came with your friend and they're weird and there was whistling and hands raising during worship and what's going on here? And we love God, but even if you don't love God, this is true. The truth is, if you're in a situation that you would like to see a different outcome, be the opposite emotion than what that other person is being. So if they're being hateful, you be love. If they're all distraught and freaking out and panicking, you be peace. And so if they're angry and they're violent, you're not. And so there's an amazing thing that happens. Rather than matching them, you become the opposite of them, and your gentle spirit will diffuse conflict. And even though you're in an uncomfortable surrounding, you can be very comfortable with who you are because of gentleness. And by the way, employees, think about this. Ecclesiastes 10:4 says this. If your boss is angry with you, don't quit. I know, here's what we do. God's calling me to move on from here. Move on when you got another job. Don't go to unemployment. Okay, ready for this? A quiet, gentle spirit can overcome even the greatest mistakes. So there's a chance your boss, you know, some bosses, I love us, but here's the reality. Some bosses just get angry because that's their management style, right? Other bosses may be angry because you literally did mess up. And rather than throwing in the towel, rather than quoting, a true gentle spirit, according to Ecclesiastes, it can even overcome the greatest mistakes. But you have to be comfortable with who you are. You have to be undisturbed in an uncomfortable situation. Okay, ready for this? Gentleness, point number two, gentleness disarms critics. Do you know, I know this is going to sound crazy because Navigation Church, this is the time you're going to be able to clap, is the greatest church in all of the Metro East area. Okay, good. But there are times, I know this is going to be hard to believe, this is going to be mind-blowing. There are times that these people at their home get on their computer and they type stuff on this thing called the internet, the interweb. It's where we can all be connected. And they say things that aren't nice about the church. Like, I know that's hard to believe. It's crazy. I know, it's crazy. And then, I know this is going to blow your mind too. There are actually been times where people type stuff, say stuff, and push out stuff about me personally. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for that platitude. My soul man is very healthy right now. No, like, and there's times, and like my wife and I don't know how we always seem to discover them, and there's times where we go, hey, that one's not even true. Like, if you want to know where I'm a mess up, I'll tell you. Like, that's easy. But if you're going to at least bash me, at least make it right, you know, at least make it accurate. And so there's times that we see these things, and there has never been a single time that we go on social media and defend ourselves. Why? It's not worth it. And if I was actually in someone criticizing me, and I had to respond to every single criticism, my question is, am I actually comfortable in an uncomfortable surrounding? 1 Corinthians says this, when it comes to responding, we respond gently when evil things are said about us. Because I learned this, and by the way, coming up, so it's probably 2 months from now, we're going to kind of do a man series. And women, don't worry, I think you'll learn something from it too. I want to call it Man Cave. But I don't know if that may, would you want a man cave? That sounds manly, right? I don't know what they'll call it. It's, they tell me. So, but I started learning something this week. Do you know there are people that are addicted to anger? I've never seen it before, never studied for it. There's actually people that are addicted to anger. They're addicts. They cope with conflict by accusing, attacking, humiliating, and criticizing. And do you know the moment you respond to them with anger or any type of negative reaction, it's like dopamine to their anger-addicted brain, and they actually get a thrill from seeing you respond negatively because of this. If we are gentle in spirit and we respond gently, all of a sudden, this anger addict that's coming after you, this conflict that's arising, this critic that is criticizing you, they have nothing to go on because you don't fuel the fire. You respond gently to your critics. And you say, listen, it's fine. If we want to criticize, that's okay. Sometimes they're not being critics. They're just opinionated because we somehow live in a world now that everybody's opinion matters. And the fact is, I love you, but they don't. I may have an opinion about a movie, but I'm not a producer in Hollywood making them, right? I may have an opinion. I was going to say opinion on fashion, and that's just not true. That's not true. Oh, okay. So, oh, man. I want to say the joke, but I just know I shouldn't. Okay, moving on. Here's what we'll do. Titus 2:8. I mean, sometimes you want to start a ministry. So sad right now. If you want to come up here, I'll whisper it in your ear, but it's really funny. It involves full-length mirrors. So Titus 2:8 says this, your conversation should be so sensible that anyone who wants to argue will be ashamed because there won't be anything to criticize in anything that you say. Like, think about it. It won't be, you're never persuasive when you're abrasive. And so we can't persuade people to know Jesus, to know you, to do what you're supposed to, if you don't have that gentle spirit. How many know, have you ever been in an interaction with someone where maybe you were disciplined, maybe you were criticized, but somehow afterwards, the adjustment made in your life, the other person cared so much about you that you actually felt loved in that situation, not hatred or anger. So that's a gentle spirit, is being able to do something like that. Okay, point number three, gentleness is a witness to unbelievers. And here's why. There is going to be a time in your life, not if, but when, something will go wrong in your life despite the fact that you love Jesus. Can I get an amen from someone? If, by the way, if you're here today and someone said, hey, the moment you love Jesus, everything will go perfect, I apologize, they lie to you. Life is life, and we do life. But the difference is when life throws you a curveball, do you spiral out of control like everybody else, or can you stay undisturbed in an uncomfortable situation, and all your friends around you can actually say something like this, how are you keeping it together so well? It can actually be a testimony to unbelievers. Believers, Titus 3:2 says this, believers should never speak evil of anyone, nor be quarrelsome. Instead, they should be gentle and slow, courteous to everybody. So how in a bad situation, when everything's going wrong, I'm not going to quarrel, I'm not going to fight, I'm not going to argue. Why? Because I have a different fruit active in my life, and you should know me as a follower of Jesus Christ because of the way that I'm handling this very bad situation. How can we evangelize with someone who's our enemy? Right? If you're not loving on them, if you're not friendly, if you're always hostile to them, the Bible will hold no credibility if you hold no credibility. So imagine this. Imagine if I was standing up here right now at 450 pounds and I said, listen, I want to talk to you about a healthy lifestyle. Let's be honest. You wouldn't believe me. And by the way, you're allowed to like affirm that. Or let me say that. I'm on my third marriage, but I'm going to do a sermon series on how to have healthy relationships. By the way, I'm not on my third marriage. My first wife would have killed me way before then. But like, I'm just using that as an example, right? But at some point, if I don't have credibility, if the fruit of my life is saying one thing, and how could someone want to know more about Jesus if all I do is always invalidate the fruit that God's trying to produce in my life? So being true gentle, we can actually be a witness to unbelievers. And then the final one, I love this. Gentleness makes me like Jesus. That is a good thing. And so, by the way, I'm like Jesus, so I can walk on water. Probably not that one. Like, but other aspects of your life, characters of your life can be a lot like Jesus. Matthew 11:28-29 says this, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and you can learn from me. Ready for this? For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. So when I learn to be gentle, I can be more like Jesus. That answer is absolutely yes. But then, think about this. In reading that scripture, is it possible that the stress and pressure that you are feeling in your life is actually an indicator light proving that you don't have the fruit of gentleness active in your world? So if you deal with stress all the time, if you feel with pressure and you can't handle it and you feel like you're always collapsing underneath it, if you can't sleep at night and you worry all the time, may I just say that is the flashing light that gentleness is not active in your world. And here's why I say this. Come to you, all who are weary. Come to me, all that are burdened. Come to me, all that you are stressed out, and learn from me. Because Jesus, ready for this? Jesus isn't stressed. Jesus isn't worried. Jesus isn't burdened. Jesus is saying to me, come to me. And by the way, when you come to me, the first thing I'm going to tell you, I have gentleness. I am gentle. I have this fruit active in my world. And so when it comes to gentleness in your life, this is not something you fake to the world around you. This is something that's produced from the inside out. And it has to be a constant cultivation in your life. So how can we get the fruit of gentleness active in our world? How can we cultivate this fruit in our life? I have three things for you. The first one is, ready for this? This is going to come as a shocker if you've been here the last couple weeks. Prayer and meditation. Step one, we can actually pray to God and ask him to help us with a specific fruit in our life. I know that's crazy. I know only pastors are allowed to talk to him twice a week because of a midweek service or something. We can all talk to him all the time. We need to have prayer and meditation. And when I say prayer and meditation, I actually gave you the scripture, Matthew 11:28-29. Come to me, all you who are heavy. And so if you're sitting in your life and you go, God, I am stressed and I am worried, you meditate going, hang on, if I come to him and I'm weary and I'm burdened and I'm stressed, God, you'll give me rest. What does rest look like? Rest looks like this thing off of my shoulders that is killing me. Rest looks like I can actually lay my head down on bed and it doesn't race for the next couple hours as I try to make myself go to sleep. Rest doesn't mean that I'm stressed about tomorrow's day. I can rest in you. So through prayer and meditation. Number two, ready for this? Choose to respond with an opposite emotion. If I say to you right now, where in your life this week will you run into conflict? Since the vast majority of us are still a part of the working force, my guess is we can name the person, we can name the meeting, we can name the place. We know when we're going to have it. I would encourage you this. Choose ahead of time. Choose ahead of time to go in with the opposite emotion. Now, you're going to do that this week, and you're going to see nearly no change. I know, really disappointing sermon right there, isn't it? Like, that's not hopeful at all. The fruit of the Spirit gets cultivated in our life over a season of time. So you thinking that you're going to come in one time in one meeting in one place in one situation and just act different and immediately changes, I challenge you that probably not. But next week, in that same place, in that same meeting, you come in with a different spirit and you come in with gentleness, I have a feeling it begins to adjust. And then the following week, you come into the same place in the same meeting with the same person and you have a gentle spirit, I begin to see a shift. And then you come in 4 months from now, 5 months from now, eventually those change because it took time for that fire to burn out, but you've thrown enough water on it where it has become drenched. So where is it in your life that you know you need to choose to go into a situation when it comes into the hostile emotional places and you're going to put out a different emotion? Final thing is, have a conversation with someone who believes nothing like you. Ready for this? And do not argue. Can you sit across from the table from someone who has different political ideas from you and just have a conversation and not end up being in a debate of who is better, Trump or Obama? By the way, if you guys ready for this? No one's going to change their mind anyway. Right? Here's why. Because you're enemies on battle lines going at each other. But is there someone in your life who believes nothing like you? I actually, there was a pastor that I was meeting with this past week. Man, I feel like I met with a lot of pastors this week. All my stories are revolving around that. And they were telling me about this certain faith in their life and this certain aspect that they've been studying for a very, very long time. And honestly, it felt like they were just kind of stuck. And I challenged them to no longer study this aspect of the Bible. Go find multiple preachers they've never heard from before and just start studying what they're preaching. But then go on to TED Talk and begin listening to someone who believes nothing like you. And just get challenged. Let them challenge your thinking. Let them challenge. And can you sit there and hear from where they're coming from? Because at the end of the day, our job is to communicate the love of Jesus. And if everybody around us who doesn't believe like us is enemies of us, no one will buy anything from a foe, only a friend. So are you willing to, on purpose, engage in a conversation with someone who believes nothing like you, and instead of arguing, instead of fighting, instead of pushing a motive, here's what you do. You're trying to make a friend. And I promise you, that will absolutely cultivate the gift of gentleness in your life. And then if a door opens for Jesus, you don't have to be fancy. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to know everything about the Bible. They go, okay, you're a Christian. What does that mean? And here's what I would say to you. We believe that there was a man named Jesus Christ that 2,000 years ago stepped into humanity because he loved humanity, but he was separated from humanity. And the reason he stepped in is because there was a massive debt owed because of our sins. And you don't even have to know what sin is, but you know the effects of it. Have you ever done an action in your life that immediately when you were done, you felt dark inside? You felt dirty. You felt bad. There wasn't a Christian standing over your shoulder saying, shame on you. Internally, you knew that this was wrong. As believers, we call that sin. And that action there separated us from God. But Jesus was so interested in being with us, he stepped in to bring us back to God. And the way that he did that is he died on a cross. He gave of himself freely to let his blood be shed. And it was a way, if you could think about this, his blood now covered that. It painted over it. It paid the debt. And the moment we said yes to Jesus Christ, he paid our debt. And do we one day get to go to heaven when we die? Everyone say yes. But that's the retirement program. The best thing is the now program. We get to walk with him. We get to talk with him. And he does everything for us so that we can have the best life here on earth and fulfill his created purpose for us. So that's what I would do if I was telling someone about Jesus. And so if you're here today and you've never heard anything about this Jesus, maybe this is the first time you've heard it explained. You listen to this fruit that is getting built inside of us and you go, man, I think I want that life over the life that I currently have. I'm just going to invite you to say, to raise your hand and say, yes, I want to become a follower of Jesus Christ. But in order for you to feel as comfortable as possible, could I just ask everyone, just for the next, let's say 90 seconds, could I just ask you to close your eyes? And if you want to bow your heads, feel free to do that too. But ultimately, I'm asking you to give the people around you a little bit of breathing room in case there's anyone here today that is ready to give their life to Jesus Christ. And by the way, if you're watching us online right now, this same question is going out to you, that if you are ready to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'm going to invite you to respond the same way everyone around the room is going to. So if you're here right now and you're ready to start a relationship with Jesus Christ, with all eyes closed and head bowed, if that's you this morning, could I just invite you to slip your hand up in the air just so that I can see that you've made that decision? Praise God. There's hands going up all around the room. And if you're watching us online right now, that same question is going to go out to you. Where I can see people here, I can't see you. So I'd love for you to drop us a note and let us know that you've made a decision today. But before you send us that note, say this prayer with us. Could I invite everybody here just to say this? Dear Jesus, today I give my life to you. I no longer want to be a sinner, but I choose to be a saint. So on this day, forgive me of my sin, become Lord of my life, and from this day forward, I follow you. God, I thank you for every decision that was made. I thank you for every hand that went up. I thank you for every heart that was changed. And God, we seal them right now into your family. But for the rest of us sitting around the room, God, I ask this. I ask for gentleness to be a fruit that continues to be cultivated in our life. I ask, there's always times that we're going to find ourselves in uncomfortable situations, in these uncomfortable surroundings. I ask this day that we are so confident in who we are so undisturbed with what you've made us to be, I ask that we find ourselves at peace in those places, and the fruit of gentleness is active and alive in our life. Any person that has been dealing with a stressful situation, Lord, give them wisdom this day on how to respond different, so they can have a different outcome than they've ever experienced. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.